Shalom, Mishpacha. Shalom, family. Mishpacha is a Hebrew word. It means family. And we're the Mishpacha, the family with a Jewish heart, made up of Jewish and non-Jewish people, where the middle wall of separation has come down between Jew and Gentile to form one new man. Getting ready, Mishpacha, to blow the grandest shofar or the grandest trumpet in Zion. We want everyone everywhere to hear the good news. We want everyone everywhere to be red hot for the Messiah. And I promise you, this week, my guest will cause you to go from wherever you are to closer, greater heart, greater intimacy with God than ever before. My guest, Pastor Ron Phillips, and Ron comes from a Southern Baptist background, good Southern Baptist background, but he went to a meeting which really changed his whole paradigm on things, and things really got crunchy for you.
That's right.
One evening right after the meeting. Tell me about that.
Yes, I was successful Southern Baptist pastor, but at the point of really quitting because I just felt like I was going through the motions, preparing sermons. I wasn't seeing a qualitative change in our people's lives, outwardly successful, inwardly miserable, spiritually. And
There have to be a lot of pastors even listening to us right now in that category.
And, I had lost my intimacy with God, and it had never been where it needed to be, but I knew I was saved and called, but I was operating in the energy of the flesh. And I went to Glorieta, New Mexico, Southern Baptist campground. Really, I was there to speak, to close the meeting on the next morning, and I went over that night and heard a woman speak, named Annette Drumright, and her husband had died, and she was head of spiritual awakening at that time for the International Mission Board. And she talked about how when her husband died, she fell in the sweet arms of the Holy Spirit and how his baptism and power in her life had sustained her through this. And so I went back to my room and fell across the bed weeping because I'd really planned to quit and go to work selling real estate for my brother in Florida. And I just was miserable. And at midnight, I heard my name called audibly. And I thought someone was at the door playing a trick on me. So I went to the door and nobody was there. I laid back down a second time and then a third time. At this point, I knew something was going on. And like Eli told Samuel, I said, "Speak, Lord, your servant hears." And the Lord said, I'm here. I want to bless you. Now, you got to understand, I was a secessionist. I believe all these gifts had ceased and that we just had the Bible and that a lot of this stuff wasn't supposed to happen anymore. And, man, I had my cage rattled.
You know, I have never been in that type of situation. It's, I guess we make do with what we have. But on the inside looking out right now, I don't see how someone makes do without understanding the full supernatural of God.
I don't know either. It's a miserable experience. It really is because, you know, you come up with what you have. Now, I can honestly tell you, said that there were occasions when I was watching preachers on back then on television, even then, or like Oral Roberts, and I would feel a hunger, and late at night, alone, I would feel a tugging in my heart. I knew there was more. I knew there was more. And that night, I read Psalm 92:10, "I shall be anointed with fresh oil," and the Holy Spirit fell on me in that room. That's the only way I know to express it. I spoke in tongues. I lifted up my hands. Now you got to understand, I didn't even believe in lifting up hands. I mean, I was so square. That's the only way I know to put it. I had a little bitty box, a Baptist box that I lived in, and God kicked every wall down, the roof off of it. 2 hours later, I went into a trance or went out, fell out in the spirit, whatever you want to call it. But when I came to, I was standing in that little single bed with both of my hands over my head, and my life has never been the same. That was a little over 20 years ago. And God moved me into the realm of the supernatural quickly. And the first thing that happened when I got home is I was called to the hospital to help a woman, and she was demonized. And I didn't know what to do. But, you know, I knew enough then to know I had supernatural help. And a couple of stabbers, we cast 13 demons out of this woman
This just doesn't sound like a Southern Baptist pastor.
I didn't tell anybody about it right away. But the anointing, God began to, I mean, the whole supernatural world in 1989 opened up to me. And I staggered in.
I'm just kind of curious, though. Had anyone ever taught you about praying in tongues? Had you ever heard people pray in tongues?
Not one time. No, never. A little bit on television, maybe I'd seen a couple of the... And I'm not talking about the contemporary guys now. I'm talking about the Rex Humbard or mm-hmm. Roberts. So I knew a little bit about it, but I had never been taught. When all this broke out in my life and the Brownsville, later Browns, people said, well, he's been to Brownsville, he's been to Toronto. Hadn't been anywhere. Nobody in our church had.
Well, let me also take you back to that night when you heard God audibly call your name. Did he give you instructions at that time?
Yes, he said, I want you to read the Psalms you've been reading every day. I had a discipline of reading 5 Psalms a day, and this was April 19th, and so it was Psalm 91 to 95. When I got to 92:10, and God knew that Scripture was I believed in the inerrancy of Scripture, and God knew that that was the paradigm that I had to have. I had to have a Scripture. And man, when that thing hit me, it became rest and refreshment, just like Isaiah prophesied to me. I wouldn't go back. I mean, it cost me most of my friends. We've had coming and going in the church for years as people left and others came, and some came back to receive what God had. But it's been a supernatural, powerful experience. And I'm 62 now, and I wouldn't trade what the Holy. I just wish I hadn't been 40 plus years old. When I wish it happened earlier. I'm not questioning God on that, because I'm sure he knocked at my door, and I was so busy being a Baptist preacher, I wasn't listening.
And what I find interesting is the Lord knew that you were going to read those 5 Psalms. That's why he told you to read Psalms. So when you got to Psalm 92:10, it reads, I shall be anointed with fresh oil. Is that when you started speaking in tongues?
Hallelujah. Yes, sir. Glory to God. I'm feeling something now. I'm just telling you.
Now, you told me before we went on the air that you have some company in the studio right now. What's your company?
Angels are here with me. I have an angel called Noble. This sounds weird, I know, but he came to me.
Well, actually, you had just told me about that, because I've got I've got your brand new book, Our Invisible Allies, subtitled The Definitive Guide on Angels and How They Work Behind the Scenes. And just as you finished the manuscript on April 18th, 2009, a large angel visited you in your bedroom. Take it from there.
Big, golden. He is so tall, his head. And I have 9 or 10 foot ceilings in the bedroom. We have one of those upward roofs in there. He had to bow his head over. But no fear came on me. And I guess I noticed that my red light on my alarm had not been disturbed, and nobody had come in the house. And it was like fear not was in my spirit immediately. And he hit me on the leg, just like what you see in the book of Acts when Peter was in jail and the angel came and woke him up, hit me on the leg, and he said, I want to speak to you, and let's go down to your study. And I have a small study in my basement that's kind of my prayer closet, secret place. And so we went down there, and this angel, he began to just talk to my spirit, because I mean, we've been through 20 years of questions and attacks, and we're solid doctrinally being called a cult just because we believe everything in the Bible. And me, I came out of seminary. I had an earned doctorate from New Orleans Seminary. You know, I've studied the Greek New Testament all my life, and I know it teaches these things. And we were attacked, and then I was weary, you know, with the ministers and others attacking this great, wonderful church that God let me pastor for 30 years now. And that angel said, that's over today. I'm stopping. Anybody that speaks against this church, I will defend you from now on. Don't worry about it, and you're going to find favor.
I find it interesting that the angel identified his name. What was his name?
His name was Noble, and they said that right before he left. And immediately I thought of nobility. Here's an angel of favor and nobility. And Sid, even you calling to talk about this book, because I had been attacked by the devil, by demons. Well, now they're really going to know you're a nut. I mean, really. I had a lot of intellectual pride in me before I was baptized with the Holy Spirit. So the enemy came at me that way. And for God to send such a powerful angel to come, and I think you're calling me to talk about this book.
Well, look at the timing of all of this. You made a statement that I have in my notes here, and it's very, very important that we really genuinely, I think anyone with half a brain recognizes we're in the end times. And the last of the last days. I mean, the midnight hour is about ready to strike. And human options are before our very eyes. I've never seen time moving so fast. Human options are beginning to dwindle. And if we don't learn to partner with the angels, we won't accomplish what God has for us on earth, let alone our basic needs.
That's exactly right. That's why an entire section of the book is called How to Activate Angels. See, I believe the unemployment scandal isn't here in the United States in the Western world. It's around the throne of God, where angels are wondering why we're not obeying Hebrews 1:14, that they're here to serve those of us who shall be heirs of salvation. And you know, Sid, that word serve there is liturgist. We get our word liturgy from it, but it really comes from laos, man, and ergon, work. And ergonomics is work that's made easy. An ergon work in the Bible. Whenever you find that word in the Bible, it's God taking it on. And angels are here to lay us ergon, to serve us, to make our work easier. And I think a lot of times we're struggling alone when we don't pray to angels, we don't worship angels, but the Bible says they obey, they move at the voice of his word, and from the book of Psalms.
I tell you what, our time is slipping away, but this really is the definitive guide on angels. It's so biblical, but it will show you how to partner with angels like you've always wanted. For a donation of $20 or more, the title of the book, Our Invisible Allies. If you would like to receive a complimentary copy of our bi-monthly teaching newsletter, materials catalog, or information about becoming Mishpocha or Chalitzim, write to me, Sid Roth, Post Office Box 1918, Brunswick, Georgia, 31521, or call our order-only line, 1-800-447-2697. To place a credit card order, call anytime, 1-800-447-2697. For all other calls, the number is 912-265-2500. That's 912-265-2500. For a cassette tape or CD of this week's broadcast, send a donation of $10 or more to Sid Roth, that's SIDROTH, Post Office Box 1918, Brunswick, Georgia, 31521. To see our television show, It's Supernatural, or our archives, or subscribe to our radio and TV podcasts, look us up on the web at www.sidroth.org. That's www.sidroth.org.